Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Debra and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Debra.
Hi. I almost fell asleep. I'm Therapist Kelly. I almost did. I swear to God, that's how tired I am. I was just like literally almost like daydreaming and almost fell asleep.
Oh, no. Why so tired?
I know. I was just thinking that and I got a decent night's sleep. Neither of the Rugrats woke me up, but maybe I'm just like catching up. My body's like, what's going on here? You're actually getting sleep? No, Uh-oh. You should be tired. It's like, I don't know.
Sometimes I'm more tired after a good night's sleep.
Yes.
I just want to keep sleeping.
Exactly. Sleep. Yeah. Yes. How is your back?
Oh, my God. Well, it's so good to be in studio today. Yes. I got to tell you, last week, it felt like I was in studio, even though I was doing it from my bed. This is my first day where I've been able to sit up for this long. Like, I've had to be reclining or walking. I can't sit down. So I've got my trusted little ice pack here. It's like a fanny pack.
Fanny pack.
Yeah. It's nice and cold.
You're like from the 80s. Yeah.
That's it.
Exactly. Well, you can stand up and do the show.
You know, I could. And I might.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'll do it with you so you don't feel alone.
But can we do jumping jacks also?
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, we
might as well. You get more Fitbit.
More Fitbits
points.
Will inspire our audiences to get up and move just
exactly.
Like that Go Noodle.
Oh, yes. Exactly. That's people. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. So what's the highlight of your week?
The highlight is my younger son is now tested. He's got a gluten sensitivity.
Aww.
So now I have to do gluten-free. So
how do you tell a kid no mac and cheese?
How do you tell this
kid
no mac and cheese? I don't know. It's going to be a tough one. But thank God. I mean, I used to live next door to a woman who had celiac, and she told me like 20 years ago, it was probably like 30 years ago, it was virtually impossible to find stuff that was gluten-free. And so we're so blessed now that
we're
going to Whole Foods. I mean, it's trendy. It's like if you're not gluten-free, something's wrong with you.
There's a whole gluten-free section. Like
yes,
a whole
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so it's more like the restaurants. Like we have a wedding in Lusk, Wyoming.
Oh,
so you can only imagine.
How much gluten-free
I called my cousin today. I was like, just curious. The pizza place we're going to in Lusk, Wyoming, I'm not going to count on it be gluten-free, right? And she's like, no. She's like, I don't think so. She's like, there's not a whole demand there for gluten-free. So I think it's going to be, you know, difficult, but I'll do my best.
Yeah, that's really tough because when you're away like that, you have to eat out in restaurants
That's what
everywhere.
I'm saying. So what am I going to carry, like a little, you know, ice pack thing with me? I don't know.
I think so.
Exactly.
Probably so. But there's lots of foods that naturally. Does he eat vegetables?
Oh, my God.
Oh, we have a cute
so
little
weird.
Bird.
Oh, my God. That's my grandma. That is my grandma.
That's your
I'm
grandma.
Not kidding. Yes, I swear to God. I believe that.
Hi, grandma. Yeah. Oh, hi.
That is really weird. Okay, so for those of you who can't see what's going on, a bird literally just flew up to our, what number?
Fourth floor studio
like
window.
In a high rise and then came twice. It like said hello and then came back. That's really weird.
And then went bye-bye.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, grandma's watching you.
That's so amazing. So now my thought went bye-bye. What were you asking? I forget. Oh, well. Let's talk about last
week.
I was
saying, there's plenty of foods that are
gluten-free,
right?
Yeah,
so vegetables
exactly.
and proteins and
oh,
all that
Oh, that's right.
Kind
Does he like vegetables? Not a little bit. More than my older one.
You got to make David start role modeling. He's got to eat more vegetables so those little tykes will eat them.
You know what he will eat? And I should say this. I think I did when we had the nutrition twins on. They will both eat smoothies. You can pack those veggies in.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah,
Fruits
for those of you who need
awesome.
Good ideas, yeah.
All right. Well, we have a great show today. And
yes.
If you want to give us a call, you can at 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. We always do a recap from our guest last week, which we will then do for our guest today. Also, next week, we had J.B. Glossinger, who is the author of The Sacred Six, The Simple Step-by-Step Process for Focusing Your Attention and Recovering Your Dreams. He was really awesome.
I loved his energy.
Such great energy. Yeah.
He really did. He was like this Zen Buddha who like had some really
great
insight.
Stories.
And yeah, I
yeah.
really liked his energy. So super happy to have him
journey.
On.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you missed that show, please go ahead and have a listen. You can download it anytime. This week we have Larry Brayman, a career consultant who is in studio with us today. Larry is president and founder of Global Career Consulting and Placement and Career University, an online platform of live and on-demand job landing career advancing webinars. He helps people find and create more fulfilling, productive careers both nationally and internationally. Drawing from his extensive experience in business and as a professional writer and actor, ooh, an actor too, maybe he'll do something for us, a skit, Larry enables his clients to rise above their competition by powerfully presenting and marketing themselves in person and in writing. With a reputation as a highly motivating and engaging presenter, Larry has designed and delivered hundreds of career development workshops and seminars. Recent engagements include CBRE, Kia Motors USA, Baxter, that was my cat's name, Baxter Healthcare, Columbia University, and the California Community Foundation. Graduate of the University of Virginia and Circle in the Square Theater School, Larry holds multiple career coaching certificates. I think we'll just talk to him instead of keep reading. How's that?
That's a great
idea. All right. Hi, Larry.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I have to follow a Zen Buddha guy with incredible energy, so I hope I can rise to the
test. Yes, don't worry. Everybody is wonderful in and of their own right.
Well,
exactly.
Yes. Thank you.
And you had to the miraculous journey of getting through the 405 in the middle of
a day.
Yeah.
Well, in the middle of the day, you think it's going to be okay.
Never.
You can't.
No,
exactly.
Just don't do it. Just don't do it.
405 and the 101. Just horrible.
Well, you know what's so funny? See, Dr. Deborah knows directions like nobody else. Like, I swear to God, you could ask her, like, I'm going to Beverly Hills at 1023. She could be like, okay, you're going to be in the left lane. You want to, you know, take this road. Like, she seriously knows traffic patterns. Like, you could be like a freaking traffic.
You're a living app.
Yes, you are. You are my Waze. Yes. But she knows. And
somebody call me and stump me.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. I swear to God. But it's amazing. And I'm the opposite. Like, I literally will get lost from here home. And it's like 5 minutes.
It's true. It's true.
One time, really quickly, and then we'll get to you. But one time, my friend said to me, she's like, I don't understand how you got lost. Like, I don't understand. Like, she caught, and I'm like, I know. It's like a blockage in my brain. So that's why I'm impressed with your ability.
But anyway, because you're a good daydreamer.
That could be why.
And probably maybe a little ADD.
You know what's so funny? I was thinking that because, you know, my son, but I think it's more my husband's side of the family. I don't think it's me. I think I'm high energy, but I'm pretty focused, and I got good grades, so I don't know, but maybe.
Okay.
But anyway.
Back to you, Larry. Tell us, what does a career consultant do?
Well,
you have such nice white teeth. Look at those teeth.
Oh, my
They're
God.
Like,
you
sparkling.
Know, we have to talk about that.
It's the fluorescent lighting.
No, it's not.
No, you really have to.
Arm & Hammer baking. So I'll set a plug for Arm & Hammer.
Really?
I use that too, but mine are like banana yellow, and yours are like, you know, gleaming white. I'm impressed.
Well, good. Well, yeah, so hire me as a career consultant because I have a nice white teeth.
Exactly.
I think that's the moral.
She started it.
So career consultants, well, at least what I do as a career consultant, I see myself as meeting people where they are on their career path and helping them get to the next level, wherever that may be. So for some people, they are not working and because they've been laid off or some kind of change has happened. And I meet with them to try and put a strategy together to get them back to where they want to go.
I see.
And other people are, let's say they're mid-career and they're looking for a change, but they're not quite sure what to do or how to do it. So I help them envision what the possibilities are and putting a strategy together to get that. So it's really meeting people where they are and helping them get to the next levels in their careers.
So it's not a headhunter per se. This is different, correct?
Right. I work for the people who are looking to advance their careers as opposed to the corporations, etc.
Got it.
So what we do in our work, though, is help people with connections, with our networking connections. Mm-hmm. We keep our ears out. Once we know what our clients are looking for, obviously, we help them make the connections that they need to get the roles. And when things come across our desk that seem appropriate, we definitely connect our clients with those opportunities. But it's different. Yeah, we're really working. We're on the side of, we're almost like agents in that way.
That makes sense.
You know, technology has changed so much than from the day when I would be looking for a job and you go through the Los Angeles Times and you look at the classifieds, right? That doesn't even exist anymore, I don't think. But so when people are doing resumes now, I understand that there's all this SEO stuff, search engine optimizations, that websites, job sites are looking for these catchwords and phrases. How would you help somebody design a resume today that would tap into some of those things?
Well, I call it reverse engineering. So it's being really good at finding out what the need is and making sure you're speaking to it. Mm-hmm. And that's whether you're writing a resume or whether you are out networking and talking to people and being able to really tell your story in a clear way. So we can talk more about that. But resumes specifically, you know, there are plenty of job boards. Indeed.com is a great one. LinkedIn's got mm-hmm. a lot going on. Simply Hired, where you can go and just pull up positions that look yeah. like they're right for you, and see what they're talking about, see what they're emphasizing, look at the keywords, look mm-hmm. at the things that are coming up again and again, and make sure that you are matching up, because especially those things shift over the years. So yeah. what was really relevant to you the last time you were looking for work may not be using the same terminology as they were back then. So you definitely want to align, because there's a lot of software out there mm-hmm. that is applicant tracking software, ATS, sure. and they're trying to make sure that you match up well. And if you're submitting online, you got to go through all these filters before a human being often even sees it. But speaking of technology, Deborah, so technology has changed a lot in terms of the job search process, mm-hmm. but what it's also done is it's made people forget about how they used to find jobs, and they over-rely on technology. Because people used to find jobs. Yes, they go on the classifieds and look around, mm-hmm. but they'd also go out and talk to people.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Word of mouth, chamber yes. of commerce.
Exactly. Networking, talking to people, letting everybody know what you're looking
sure.
for. And so what people do is that the biggest trap right now is that they fall into what I affectionately call the internet suck.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
So that's where people think, then this is where we really, as career consultants, really help people a lot.
Yeah.
Is they think that, okay, a job search is, I'm going to get online in the morning, and I'm going to go to job boards, and I'm going to submit my mm-hmm. resume 100 times, and no matter where, and I'm going to get lost in this
yes.
vortex.
Yes.
And
yeah.
time passes, mm-hmm. and you...
Day
and,
after
yes,
day
and
after
nothing,
day.
And you get pulled into the latest website of, you know, what did Hulk Hogan do to whatever,
exactly.
and you get all off track, and it's the internet suck. And mm-hmm. so we get over-reliant, and we yeah. forget that it's really the most productive job searches tend to be, and most people find work by going out and talking to people.
I know. Mm-hmm. It is so true.
It is
so
true.
So I have a question. So do you get people who come to you and have no idea what they want to do? Absolutely no idea. And how do you even start with somebody like that?
Yes. Well, yes, yes. And so yes, I do. And how you start... I mean, I use a combination of talking questions mm-hmm. and real assessments to help people dig out. It's our job as consultants, and you
yeah.
know this from your line of work, to really pull out what's inside of people so that they can use it in useful ways.
Sure.
Right? So I call it mining for a lot of raw material that we can then put out in front of us. And, or as a colleague of mine once put it, you put a lot of clay on the wheel and then shape it into potential directions.
Sure.
So
I like that.
Yeah, beautiful metaphor.
Yeah, we're looking at things really quite simply. The place I always start is with needs and values.
Ooh.
So it's not going, okay, tell me all the skills you have, and let's take this skills assessment, mm-hmm. and I'll tell you what job you're supposed mm-hmm. to have. Because we know, and you all know as therapists and, mm-hmm. and you know, people who support people in just in their human endeavors, is that people are most satisfied in their lives when they're getting their core needs and values met.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so I work from the same place.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
So if people are not pursuing work that is really in alignment with, you know, who they are and what drives mm-hmm. them, motivates them now, they're not going to be successful. And I want to point them in directions that are real, are in alignment with who they
that's
are
nice.
Now. So and we can kind of dig down to all the different mm-hmm. other factors, but
sure.
that's where I like to start.
I love that. No, but it's so true, because I think you do think of traditionally going to somebody and they're like, okay, you know, either what are your interests or you know, what are your skills, and it's just kind of dry, but it really comes down to, you know, what's in your heart, what's going to make you have passion and really, you know, want to make a difference. I like that a lot.
Yeah, me too. I was just one of those really lucky people, I would say, in the world. world, because at 12 years old, I already knew I was going to be a psychologist. I had no doubt in my mind.
Are you serious?
My parents would have their parties and the people would come, what do you want to be when you grow up? A psychologist. Oh, how come not a psychiatrist? I don't want to prescribe medicine. I want to talk to people. That's what I do. And that's what I do best. And I could say those things at 12 years old. And I just never, ever deviated until in the last 10 years when I've done all the other media stuff and writing books and things like that, which is a whole other level of fun and all that. But I just knew. And I know that's really sad because so many people have no idea. They get out of college, they have these degrees, and they get a job at McDonald's. Not that anything's wrong with a job at McDonald's. It's better than no job for some people.
But or they get a job because they happen to get an on-campus interview or whatever was sort of lining up for them at the moment. They may have gotten lucky. They did an internship. And they get on a train that they're not really driving, conducting. And I work with so many people who are later in their careers because they've been laid off or they or they're just not fulfilled. And it's 15, 20 or more years down the road. And something makes them pause when, and they have to really, and they can get a chance, actually, sometimes a real gift to really reevaluate how they got there and what they were doing there in the first place, because it really wasn't, they had almost an entire career that wasn't really in alignment with who they really are in there. So there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of dissatisfaction, et cetera. So sometimes we just jump on this thing because it's whatever
it's
gets handed to us. And and so what career consultants do is also help people really evaluate what are some possibilities that really make sense for what's going on with them now.
Yeah, and so many people get sometimes caught up, too, in what their parents want them to do. So they go to school because, you know, so dad's a lawyer, you're going to be a lawyer. You know, dad's a doctor, you're going to be a doctor. You know, mom's head of this department, you're going to do that. Yeah. And people get lost in that pressure from their parents. What happens when you get somebody, let's say, who's out of college, they sort of went that route because their parents sort of pushed them to do something, but they really don't know what to do?
Yeah, so we want people to build on what they've got if they can, right? It's so in some cases it may be a complete retrenchment and kind of starting over, going to grad school for a different degree, etc., and really setting out on a new path. But often when I work with people on a change, it's just being able to see, to take all their pieces and rearrange them in ways that they didn't necessarily recognize before. So I don't know. Throw me a path that someone might have been on that they may want to change.
So somebody studied economics in college, and they don't really want to work with numbers.
Okay, so they don't really want to work with numbers, but we would look at and say, okay, what were the things during college that really did excite you? You know, were there perhaps particular projects that you worked on? Was it working? You know, did often in school or in grad school, you'll do something where you will take on a project for a corporation or something and do some real work for them. So was there something, maybe it wasn't about the numbers, but maybe it was around the subject matter. Maybe you help them take a product and develop it in a new way, and you got excited by that aspect. You know, maybe we would do some assessing and say, you know, maybe when we look at your values, what we talked about at the beginning, maybe creativity is very high on that chart. And so perhaps it's more about, you know, taking something from what you enjoyed about that project. You were very creative. You got to take some leadership role, and maybe there's also an aspect of you that the more we talk, we find out that helping people, making a difference, comes out as something that's really important. So we might look more towards things like nonprofits, say doing project work or helping nonprofits shape their offerings, their message, and you can then. But we don't want to throw everything out, because it might be helpful for you to also pitch the fact that you have an economics background. That can help you get in the door and might help sell you towards a role that, okay, I'm going into a nonprofit, maybe a small one. They might, you know, a lot of people are doing a lot of different things. So I could also perhaps help you with your books or with your financial planning, et cetera. But that's not the most important. That's not the highest thing that I'll be doing every day. So does that give you an idea in terms of how we might re-jumble some things to I call it helping people retell their stories. And that's really important for people if they're whether they're kind of just getting started, but particularly for people mm-hmm. who are having to make a shift for some reason later on in their careers.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And I'm curious your background too, because I feel like for a position to be a career consultant, to me would be, I don't know, somebody who's kind of done quite a few things, and then they can kind of advise people and things like that. And then with your background, reading about it, so interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about your story?
Well, my story is that I come to this with a combination of business and creative professional experience. And I'm hearing my mom's voice when I was in college, you know, telling me what to do. And I always mm-hmm. had these acting inclinations, and I was doing shows in high school, college. And I heard my mom saying, okay, get your degree first in something really useful, an English mm-hmm. major. Okay.
Oh.
But that's what it came out to be. But and then you can then but get your degree in something more solid and then you can do. So I went into business, into retail for a little bit. Very dissatisfying, and I shifted and went to theater school in New York at Conservatory mm-hmm. and started an acting career. And when it came time to when kids were coming along in my family and were mm-hmm. looking for more of a stable route, I started this process which we're talking about. I started to work with a mentor mm-hmm. who's actually a psychologist who helped me with assessments and look at sort of what I already had and mm-hmm. what was driving me, etc. So I started pulling from my acting background mm-hmm. and my business background. I started designing programs that would help people in organizations work better. And mm-hmm. I still do this. I bring in a lot of exercises from the acting world, from the improv world, mm-hmm. And because what helps people connect better on stage and to audiences also helps people connect mm-hmm. in real life.
Makes sense.
So that's kind of how I made this transition. And thinking about what do career consultants have to be good at to be mm-hmm. good career consultants, it's helpful to know your business community, especially your region, et cetera, very well in terms of business. But we're also like you all, we're catalysts. Yeah. It's our job to help people see possibilities and then help mm-hmm. them understand how to go about mm-hmm. getting them, you know, sure. achieving those goals. And so we don't necessarily have to be experts at every single industry. It mm-hmm. helps. I have a lot of depth in a lot of there are industries that I specialize in, but it's more about the there are strategies that work for people no matter what industry they're choosing and mm-hmm. being able to really mm-hmm. help people sure. put strategies together that make sense for them.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah. So if somebody, let's say, what's your information background on how many careers does one in this our generation tend to have in life? Like somebody once said, we're going to go through like 3 to 5 careers in a lifespan.
You know, I don't know exactly. I know that what's happening now is that people are changing jobs much more quickly than mm-hmm. they were before. You know, there was a statistic that was being kicked around about every 18 months on average that people are
really?
Actually changing jobs. I don't know if I'm seeing it quite as quickly as that, but it's happening much more rapidly than it was, say, for our parents' generation. Mm-hmm. And what I'm seeing just anecdotally in terms of career shifts, in terms of real changes, I would say 2 to 3
okay.
on average. Mm-hmm. Usually there's something hits about in that 5-year mark after college mm-hmm. where people are like, whoa, what this
yeah.
I tried this and this doesn't quite really make mm-hmm. sense
uh-huh.
and now I'm going to try
sure,
something
sure.
else
yeah.
I really need to retrench. And then often later in life in people in the 40s, 50s, even mm-hmm. sometimes 60s, where people are looking for that what's
yes.
going to take them sort of the rest of the way, which can change a lot.
It's interesting because in my place of work, I mean, I have a lot of therapists who are therapist interns who are older.
Yes.
And it's a really, like, it's a big sort of second or third career, I think, for a lot of people.
It's also a common industry for people who have had kids and now their kids
yes.
are growing up. A lot of women, especially,
yep.
if they've been at-home moms, like this as a career. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And I'm not surprised because one big thing that we see on people's career arcs mm-hmm. is that when they're first starting out, it's very much about winning, about growing, about gaining more, about mm-hmm. about getting more, making more money,
mm-hmm.
about kind of working your way up. And then later on, in sort of at the midpoint or later in your professional life, it often becomes more about meaningful work and giving
makes
back
sense.
And
yeah.
helping people. And that's
sure.
what you all do, and probably what you're seeing in your mm-hmm. in your practices with people who are older than you might
yes.
expect coming into it.
Sure.
That's a great point.
I have a couple of really practical questions.
Yes.
Yes. Like, for example, somebody's been working in one particular field, maybe climbed pretty high up and now wants to change careers. It's not necessarily as much about the money, but they had made a lot of money in the past. So now what would they put on their resume? What would they leave off? How long would they go back? Like a senior VP who now wants to get into another industry and just do like middle management or something in another area.
Right, right. It's so a lot. It's going to depend on the kind, exactly the kind of role they're looking for. If they're looking for a role where they're still wanting to lead people, then we would want to still keep a lot of leadership aspects on the resume. I have an acronym in this that I use with my clients, and this also comes from a webinar that I'll talk about because I have this webinar series.
Sure. Okay.
And it's called targeting, to a target acronym. And this would be the A in target, which is means agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to, and most people don't think about writing their resumes in terms of agreeing to be in agreement with the level that they're looking for mm-hmm. in their next role. So let's say that this person that you're talking about, Deborah, wants to be more middle management or just more of a team player. Then those are the things that they're going to want to talk about. Even in their more senior leadership roles, they're going to talk mm-hmm. about more how they were, as opposed to, you know, the leader of this multi-million dollar budget, how they really got in
teamwork.
With the team and more of a hand, what they mm-hmm. did that was more hands-on, et cetera, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, contributing from that level. So I'm always telling my clients to put on the filters or the goggles of the position that you are going for and make sure that there is agreement and relevance mm-hmm. really line by line throughout the resume. And you don't, speaking of, and asking about how far you need to go back. I mean, typically, you want to account for, if you've been working for a while, mm-hmm. about 15 years that of work, 10, 15 years that you actually put dates on.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you can decide to leave stuff off, because mm-hmm. a resume is not your bio.
Right.
It's a sales piece.
Right.
Got it.
Right? It's a brochure. So you can just drop stuff off that's before if you don't want to date yourself, mm-hmm. age yourself out. Or if you think that there's stuff that's relevant from your earlier, and I'm saying stuff, it's like a really technical term here. If there are things that are relevant from further back,
right.
you can put a little subheading after you list your chronological professional experience. Mm-hmm. And a subheading might say additional experience, additional
right.
Marketing experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can just talk about it. Either you can put the company with, and you don't put dates on there. Just put
right.
the company and the role and, you know, what it is that you think is going to help yourself mm-hmm. from going way back. So sometimes I have clients that are pulling because they're making a change. They're pulling from stuff that's, you know, from 20, even 30 years ago.
But it's relevant.
It's relevant.
Exactly.
You got to make the case
right.
and use whatever you
sure.
can.
And is it ever a good idea to dumb down a resume?
Well, let's talk more about what you mean by dumb down, just so we're really clear about what those terms
well,
are.
Well, yeah. So I'll tell you, my guy, Christopher, he basically was a senior VP in marketing things. Took a turn, did some consulting, and then 2008 hit, and life was different.
Mm-hmm.
And his ability to get back into those positions was not happening, because there were many of them anyway. So he did a lot of different things to try to, you know, do his resume and all that stuff, and he would just constantly get, you're overqualified. And he has an MBA, and so, you know, he was like, I don't need to make that much money. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I just want to work. But no one would believe him. And then factor in age and all this stuff. It was pretty demoralizing.
Right, right. So I've worked with people who say they've got a PhD or mm-hmm. perhaps, even depending on what you're going for, perhaps the MBA. It's going to be a case-by-case thing, but you definitely... I wouldn't lie
sure.
on a resume.
No,
but you know, dumbing down or at least maybe going back to what we were talking about earlier,
reshifting
focus. Yeah, shifting
yeah.
focus,
sure.
making sure
yeah.
that the stuff you're talking about is more in alignment mm-hmm. because when we're making a change, whatever that change is, we have to get used to talking about ourselves in different ways. And that's really hard for people. And that's why working with somebody can be really helpful, because it's hard for us to let go of how we're used to either writing about ourselves or perhaps even more importantly, when it comes to somebody like Chris is talking about ourselves. Right. Because if we're looking to make a change, the networking is going to be by far your best friend. It always is in job search anyway.
It's true.
But you'll be much more convincing, especially if your resume is not, you know, apples to apples, because it probably won't be if you're making a major change. You're going to be way more convincing in person than you are going to be on paper. And that's where that networking strategy is going to be absolutely vital.
He did a major career change: medical billing and electronic health records. That's what he just ended up doing.
Yeah. And how's he doing?
Great. He got a job right out of, he did the certification and he got a job right out. And it's been great for him. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Whole new career.
So if I can add to that, so it sounds like what he did was he did some additional research. Mm-hmm. He found, and I find this a lot with people that I work with. Sometimes there is, when you're really doing your research and you're looking, say, remember we talked about pulling sample job postings. And if you see a certification that's coming up again and again that will help you get in the door, a lot of these things can be had in a few months and relatively cheaply.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you put those a few letters after your name at the top of your resume and your LinkedIn profile, and that could really make a difference for you.
Yeah, so absolutely. Cool. You went through kind of a career
change,
I was
thinking
right?
that as you were talking, I have been through so many careers. I was also an actress, did some hosting.
You're
I was
still an actress.
A little bit, not as much anymore.
And a
but
ham.
A little bit of a ham on the ham department, kosher ham. But so I did that. I was a health, like sex ed teacher. I was a copywriter for an advertising agency. So I've
you
like,
were?
Yeah.
A copywriter?
Mm-hmm. So like I wrote slogans for book ads. Isn't that
really?
So funny?
Oh, I didn't
so
know that about
So it was tough.
You.
Like I just couldn't figure out, you know, completely what I wanted to do. And
but you got your master's in social work right out of college?
I had 1 year off.
Okay.
And then I got it.
But then just put that on the shelf for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that so funny? And then came back to it. So
and then had babies. And
exactly. But I feel like I needed to do that to get to where I am. That's just, you know, my path that I had to do. Like, I am envious of somebody like you who just kind of knew from day one. And but I don't know. I guess we all have our paths.
Oh, there are so many people that I speak with, and they are in their 40s or 50s saying, I just never knew. And I bet you there's a lot of people listening. And I feel you, because that it's really, really difficult. And if you find yourself in a place career-wise where you're like, this isn't right, and I never knew, you know, people say, well, what's your dream job? And people need help articulating that. But fortunately, there are ways to help people articulate that. It's not something that, you know, being good at developing your career or looking for jobs, et cetera, it's not something that that you learn necessarily, and they don't necessarily teach it in college, although schools are getting better and better about making this an essential part of the university or college experience.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm.
But still, most people do not or have not come out knowing how do I run my career? How do I stay on top of it? How do I look for a job when I need to?
What do you feel like are the most popular jobs today?
The most popular jobs. Well, tech is the big magnet, and it's in terms of where can somebody who is that way aligned make the most money fastest? It's definitely in the engineering and science and tech fields.
Yeah,
that's where there's also highest demand.
Healthcare is pretty big.
Yeah, right? And that was going to be next.
Oh yeah.
And sort of it depends where you're getting in this, and healthcare is big, but it's also shifting a lot because there's, you know, so much movement to combine tech and healthcare right now. But that's also a good place to be. Major institutions, organizations, insurance companies, hospitals, they're all looking for ways to be more efficient. Especially after Obamacare, there are different constraints that they have to work with. I think a theme for people who are listening might be look for the pain points in the economy. Look for not where things are dropping off and really suffering, but look for where things are changing. And where I have a client who has kind of made a career of kind of keeping her ear out as to where people, where companies are, say, hurting because they a new set of regulations has come down, or mm-hmm. they've been bought by somebody, and she'll present herself as a possible solution to wherever mm-hmm. that where that pain is, mm-hmm. and even in a proactive way, saying, you know what, I think you guys could
that's
need
great.
Let's talk about this, mm-hmm. and then she sort of sells herself that way. So that's
smart.
That's a potentially helpful strategy too.
Do you have any tips for the shy person? Because a lot of these things require you to be able to have no social anxiety to get out there, you know.
Chutzpah.
Brown nose, yes. Shake hands, yeah. Do whatever.
Yeah.
And people, because I work with a lot of shy people mm-hmm. or people with social anxiety, and just that whole world is sometimes so
terrifying.
Ominous, terrifying, yes, yeah. All of the above.
Especially when so much of this hinges upon your building relationships, mm-hmm. and that's because that's really what does it for most people. So the biggest bit of advice I would have for shy people is go slow, meaning go, but do it in a way that feels right for you.
Not overwhelm yourself.
Yeah, yeah. So take manageable steps. Mm-hmm. So I might coach one client to say, you know what your target is for this week? You want 20 conversations that are related to your search, mm-hmm. right? And I might say to somebody who is more introverted, who needs more time to recover and re-energize in between these conversations, yeah. you know what? Let's shoot for one a day.
Okay.
Let's build on that. Because there's also, I think people through their personal experience over the years, tell themselves a lot of stories about what they can and can't do.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
And so,
I'm not good at that. I'm not good at that. How do you know? You never tried.
Right. I'm not good at networking. Mm-hmm. I'm not good. So if you, and I'm sure this happens to you in your coaching and support of people, that you see that if people have an initial victory and they've had a good experience mm-hmm. in, say, going out and having one networking conversation, and when we're saying a networking conversation, I'm really just talking about going out and talking to somebody about stuff that you're interested
right.
in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's really what it should be.
Exactly.
And maybe even that is helpful to help people reframe. Well, I think of networking,
yes.
I gotta go shake a lot of hands at a party or at a
yes.
convention and get a lot of cards. It's really, and particularly for people who are more introverted, it's really about a one at a time approach of mm-hmm. of meeting with people. Then getting introduced to people, not cold calling, you know, warm,
right.
and starting with people who you are most comfortable with, even
yep.
friends and family. So that's also probably doable because the relationship is already
established. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And talking, there are strategic ways to get a lot out of these conversations, but overall, it's talking about stuff that you're interested in, what you like to do, and what you want to learn more about. Mm-hmm. So is that helpful?
I think I also find it helpful too. I mean, I learned this for myself too, is that when you meet somebody new and you think there's some promise or some potential there, it's really good to follow up with them about a week later. I don't know, what do you think, a week or 2 weeks, just to remind them who you are, because it's so easy for us to forget. I mean, I know I've met a lot of people mm-hmm. and then I go, oh, who was that person that mm-hmm. I could refer this person to, and then yeah. I never like heard from them
never
again
gone.
And never established an actual relationship.
Right It's so two things are important here. One is that, as you know, we don't build relationships on the first date, right?
Right.
I mean, so these kind of relationships we're talking about, they do take time and nurturing.
Sure.
So one is to know that, particularly if you are meeting somebody who is in your field, in your industry, ideally what I call the gold in your network are people who work at organizations where you want to work, mm-hmm. or more ideally, people who could potentially hire you to work there. And nurture those relationships over time. You might get an introduction to somebody. You would perhaps have a conversation, have a coffee, mm-hmm. however it is. And then, yes, do follow up. There have been studies done about this that say that for people who are hiring managers at target organizations of yours, right? They could hire you at a place mm-hmm. where you want to stay in touch with them, sort of ping that radar about once every 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
And you can schedule these things and uh-huh. check in, send them an email saying, you know, I read this article and I thought about you, or I'm following up on this idea mm-hmm. that you had, or happy Thanksgiving, whatever yes. it is mm-hmm. to let them know. Can I tell you a story?
Mm-hmm. Please.
Yes.
Okay. So I was leading a workshop at a commercial real estate firm uh-huh. last Friday, and it was a communications workshop, and we were having lunch afterwards, and I was talking to the people, some of the people who were there, and I wanted to know how they joined this organization mm-hmm. and because I want to know how people find work. I'm always curious about that. And so one gentleman said that he found his job this way. He said, my uncle is a lawyer who has done some work for this real estate firm. Mm-hmm. And my uncle and I were talking, and he knew, and we were talking about my interest in real estate. Okay. And mm-hmm. so my uncle said, well, I do some work with this firm. Would you like to meet the leadership of the firm? So he said, yes. And so this gentleman, let's call him Roy. Roy went and met with the CEO of this company, not for a job interview, but just because the uncle mm-hmm. introduced him to uh-huh. her. And he asked a lot of good questions. He presented himself intelligently. And that was that. A few months go by, and an opening appears in this company, and the CEO remembers mm-hmm. Roy because he made a good impression mm-hmm. and actually reached out to Roy. Because he had become what I call a known commodity in one of his target organizations. So, I mean, that's really how it can yes. work mm-hmm. and works for, you know, 80-90% of people still find their job by getting out there and talking to wow. people and making connections.
It's a good story.
That is yeah. so good. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And then the person that was sitting next to him, I asked her, and uh-huh. she said, how'd you wind up here? She said, Craigslist.
So exactly. It just depends.
Yeah, yeah. It depends. And you don't want to exclusively focus on either. Mm-hmm. You want to use the internet as a tool
sure.
to help you
one
research.
Of many.
But yeah, it's one of many. You know, you don't want to conduct an all Craigslist job search, or you're mm-hmm. going to be likely,
exactly.
likely. Not you might get lucky, like she did, yeah. but you're going to likely be spinning your wheels for a long, long
and
time.
And sometimes scammed.
Yeah.
Right, but that too. But going back to there was a great question you asked, I mean, or you had mentioned about like sort of keeping in contact, but I always feel like people are sort of, they don't want to pester too much, or they don't want to bother, or they, is there sort of a nice rule of thumb? I mean, I know you
Wait,
said once every...
Flash, our bird's
the bird
know.
Is back.
I saw the
Grandma's
bird twice.
Here.
Grandma
came back twice.
Just keeps coming over to you.
So
Hi,
amazing.
Grandma.
So amazing.
So funny. He loves this window.
I know, that is
Okay,
weird.
Yes. So go ahead.
So I know you had said maybe once every 3 weeks, but is there sort of a rule of thumb? Because I know for me too, sometimes I feel bad about like reminding people, just a friendly reminder, you know, but yeah, I'm curious if there's sort of a rule of thumb that
yeah.
you like.
Well, that again, that 3 week rule of thumb I like. Mm-hmm. And overall, here's the thing, in job search, one of the axioms that I use is in job search, squeaky wheels do get grease.
Mm. Okay.
Right? Annoying wheels.
Don't.
Not so much
yes,
so. And you've
yes.
got to know the,
sure. yes.
the difference between
yeah.
the two. And so if you feel like pestering, like you're pestering, maybe you actually are, or mm-hmm. but just get some feedback from somebody.
Yes.
Is this reasonable that, okay, mm-hmm. I had this interview and I haven't heard from them. Can I follow up
right.
and ask them what's going on? Yes, you can. And, mm-hmm. and you really should. Or I met this person at a conference, you know, should I reach out to them again? Mm-hmm. You should. And yes, regularly
right.
and but if you're calling them on a regular basis, you know, once a week
right.
or emailing them once a week or perhaps more than that, then yeah, you might get annoying. But just remember, people are really busy.
Yes.
And they move on and they forget
yes.
about you and your meeting and everything
yes.
else. So you can't count on them to keep it
right.
mm-hmm.
you have
in
to
their
refresh.
In their heads.
True.
You really do have to refresh.
Yeah. I have a funny story too. So early in my career, I typically needed to work. I couldn't do just private practice. I couldn't afford to just do private practice. I didn't have enough clients. And so I would always have a job and then a small private practice. And at one point, I got some really great hospital work where I was doing groups, and they were paying me quite well. And it was great in my practice. And I'm like, okay, I can pay my bills. I love my career. Life is great. they had to shut down the hospital program because of lack of funds and finances and all this stuff. And so like half of my income just went kaput. And I'm like, holy crap, what do I do? My friends are saying, well, I don't know what to do. I'm like, I'm just going to call every one of my therapist friends and just tell them I need clients. And I did. And people were like, are you really going to do that? I'm like, yes, I need clients. And I love this work. I don't want to go get a lame ass job somewhere that I don't care about.
Right.
And so I did. I just called up all my friends. And you know what? Like half of them, you know, I called them back and I got a whole bunch of new clients. So
I love that.
I don't know that that'll work for you, Kelly, but when you're off on private practice, just call them all up.
No, that's so smart.
I don't know that it was smart. It worked, but
I think that's brilliant, actually.
People need to know that you need help.
Right.
Exactly.
And you know, so that's another reason I think we're so reticent as job seekers sometimes are so reluctant to reach out to the people who really want to help us.
I think it's fear too of being manipulative. Like some people have this fear that if they're doing that, they're an opportunist, they're being manipulative. That's why I vote for just say to people, I'm really interested in this company. I really would love to work here someday. You know, being able to just be upfront tells people what your agenda is.
Yes.
Right. There's absolutely, and to be really clear about that and what you do and you know, how you might fit in, you have to have a really clear message.
Yes.
But the other aspect of that that people should have in mind that helps make this process more doable and people feel less like they're using people or taking advantage of their relationships is to think about what you have to offer as well.
Mm-hmm.
In this process, because if you are out and really doing conducting a job search well, you are talking to a lot of people, you're doing lots of research, you're going to meetings and perhaps some conferences, and you're reading up on everything, and you are perhaps more on top of what's going on in people's industries than some people in the industries are because they are stuck in their function and they aren't there and they're really busy and they don't get a chance to have a big picture. So just know that you have something to offer as well
of
value. You've got information, you've got contacts, you've got, you know, even I recommend that people at the end of a called a networking conversation, informational interview, you know, someone once said this to me and I think I thought it was brilliant. Someone said, "You know what, Larry, you've been so helpful. What can I do for you?"
Love it.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there.
Yes.
Sure.
You never know what you'll get back, but it makes you and the other person feel like this is a more balanced equation, I think.
You know, I can't believe it. We're almost out of time, but before we end, I really want to know something about aptitude testing. Can you do that in a minute?
Well, sure. Well, aptitude testing, what I use, and so I don't have one where you sort of plug in your skills and it spits out exactly these careers.
Okay.
There are the ones that I tend to use are more personality based, like Myers-Briggs, and also the strong interest inventory, which matches your interests with other people's, thousands of people's interests and the sciences, that if you match up well, you're likely to find this work satisfying and do it well.
Oh, I like
it's
that.
A great inventory. And then what I'll do is I'll layer in just skills inventories to say, you know, what are your past skills and areas of expertise, things that you do well, major problems that you solve. And so, and you can find all kinds of skills inventories online. There are good inventories it'll come back to me. It's the Department of Labor's major job site, and it'll come back to me in a second. And so there are good online inventories as well. But I think that personality driven and interest driven is a good way to start.
So helpful, my goodness!
So helpful. And where can people find you and your website and all that good stuff?
So people can find me. The easiest way is if they want to contact me directly. I'll give an email address: lbraman at mycareeru.com, and that's for My Career University.
Yeah.
And Career University is if people want to dig deeper into in a real economical way into the kind of strategies that we've been talking about here, from marketing yourself and resumes and interviewing, networking, to really get a deeper taste, is to go to Career University. That's mycareeru.com.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And there are courses and webinars, interactive online webinars that help people really bump up their strategy in these ways. And if people feel that I might be the right career consultant, career coach for them as well, I'm happy to speak with them too.
That's wonderful. Awesome.
Thank you
Thank you so much. Okay, you want to introduce our guest for next
week? Yes. So next week we have author Christine Wheeler. She wrote the book The Tapping Solution for Teenage Girls, which I think is great. I'm really big into tapping, so it'll be interesting. And not tapping like dance tapping.
I was going to say, yeah, are you exactly. going to bring your tap shoes
in? No, I'm the worst dancer on the planet. But so we'll have her. But thank you so much, Larry, and really excited for next week.
Larry just had a brainstorm.
Remember that one?
It's
resource for the Department of Labor, ONET, O-N-E-T. Incredible resources for looking into new careers and changes and assessments and things like that.
Is that a .com or a .org?
ONET. It's called, if you just Google ONET, the official website I think is ONET Online. It's probably .gov actually, but Google ONET, O-N-E-T.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Till next week.
Bye-bye.
Love y'all.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.